I think we had, you know, 50 or 80 grand left in the tin. We didn't have a product live. It was early in 2020. So you've sort of just come out of, you know, Christmas, New Year, where everything sort of shuts down, and then the pandemic hit and global markets crashed. APRA shut the gates on, you know, pretty much everything. It was just like everything stopped.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories. Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, we've got John Winters, co-founder and CEO of Superhero. John, pleasure to have you on the line, mate. Thanks for being part of the series.
G'day, Chris. No, thanks for having me.
John, let's talk Superhero, a pretty well-known brand here in Australia in regards to fintech and equity markets. Can you talk about the origins of Superhero and how it all began and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I've got 15 years experience in financial services. Started out as a broker or started out as working at a broking firm called Shaw Stockbroking back in the mid 2000s. Got involved just before global markets crashed during the GFC. But worked my way through, joined Macquarie Bank as an advisor. And then circled back to Shaw when I was actually living in Perth at the time. They opened an office over there, and it was quite an interesting ride there. A good friend of mine, Larry Diamond, started a fintech business called Zip. Needed some capital, so we listed him on the stock market, and it was really through that process that a whole bunch of people were coming to me, you know, my age. They were new employees at Zip. They were coming saying, I want to buy some Zip shares to sort of be on the rocket ship. But I don't have that much cash. So can I use my super to buy shares? And, you know, the answer was, well, yes, you can, but you need a self-managed super fund, and there's complexities around that, and there's tax consequences, and you know, there's a whole range of intricate difficulties when it comes to doing that, and particularly if you don't have more than $500,000, which is the guidance on ASIC's website. You know, there's all of these sort of, you know, intricacies around doing it. So the shorter answer was no, you can't. Mm. And that was really the light bulb moment for Superhero. I wanted to create something that offered the 99% of people in Australia who a sort of, you know, a self-managed super fund was out of reach for, the ability to have complete transparency and control over how and where their superannuation was invested. So what does that mean? We needed to create a platform that ensured your super fund cash was kept within the super environment. That's, you know, probably the most regulated space in the country. But then gave you the investment choices, not just, you know, the balance choice or the growth or, you know, the high growth. It gave you individual and granular control over how to invest your retirement savings. So that's what we set out to build. That was the sort of the light bulb, and you know, I got started, you know, straight away with all the important stuff, like what's the name going to be, you know, what's the branding look like, and started to put together a bit of a mud map on how we'd actually build this product, and very quickly worked out that, you know, based on an estimate, that would be live in 3 months' time, and away we went. It took 3 years.
Okay.
It was not a 3-month process. But I had very limited knowledge of, you know, of tech and, you know, how to sort of build something like this. So I hit up a good mate of mine, Wayne Baskin. Wayne was a software engineer by trade, worked at GE Commercial Finance, worked his way up at Booktopia to become CTO and deputy CEO. And it was quite interesting. He, you know, he's a very good friend of mine, but he's sort of very close with the guys who started Afterpay, I'm quite close with the Zip guys. So we're sort of knee deep in those sorts of relationships.
Let's go and have coffee. It's like, oh, so Nick, hi, meet Larry. Yeah, we kind of know each other.
Yeah. So we sort of agreed we would never talk about Fight Club, and we actually got Nick and Larry to invest, and there were a lot of jokes about, you know, the first shareholder meeting and, you know, how that would go down. We sort of, Wayne loved the idea, jumped sort of head first into it, and I'd blame him for
lots
years.
Of things.
It was going to take me 3 months. He got involved. It took us 3 years. But he's been a critical piece to the entire business. We set out to build a super fund that allowed you to invest in, you know, individual shares and ETFs to build out that sort of control and transparency in your own portfolio. And we basically had to build. We had to build a, you know, ComSec inside Aussie Super. Like that's what we were ultimately doing. So it was an APRA regulated super fund with a share trading platform in it. And the regulatory roller coaster is that you have to go on building something like this from scratch is extremely difficult. You know, the legacy businesses that are out there, the regulation is sort of built with them. So to come in from scratch is very difficult, and that's what took a huge amount of time as well. We're sort of building, we were sort of inching forward. It was like one step forward, one step back. Sometimes we thought we're just taking steps back. Every so often we'd take two steps forward, but it was just this sort of constant roller coaster and we got to a point where, you know, I think we had, you know, 50 or 80 grand left in the tin. We didn't have a product live. It was early in 2020. So you've sort of just come out of, you know, Christmas, New Year, where everything sort of shuts down, and then the pandemic hit and global markets crashed. APRA shut the gates on, you know, pretty much everything. It was just like everything stopped. Mm. And then we saw these green shoots. You know, offshore, Robinhood signed up 11 million customers in a quarter. And, you know, there were this sort of rise of retail investing just accelerated pretty much out of nowhere. And we're like, well, hang on a minute. We've just built a whiz-bang share trading platform. Let's peel back that superannuation sort of layer and launch it direct. And that's what we did. It took about 6 months to repurpose the product, but we launched that in September 2020 as Superhero, as Australia's lowest cost online share trading platform. We launched at $5 trades, zero brokerage on ETFs, and then over the course of the next sort of 6 to 12 months, we rolled out US share trading and finally the superannuation product. It's been quite a ride.
And John, so the Superhero name therefore has connotations to superannuation, or is that just completely separate?
Yeah, well, a lot of people were saying, you know, why you share trading platform, why'd you call it Superhero? Like, it's a cool name, but why Superhero? And when we launched the super product, they were like, that's brilliant, you've got super in your name. And it was sort of, you know, it was always hiding there in plain sight. But we did start as a superannuation business, even though that wasn't our first product. Superhero was what it's sort of that name that makes sense. It's sort of that name when you're in superannuation. So why hasn't anyone ever used that before? The first time I heard it, it just resonated and it stuck, and you know, we've sort of just built from there.
going back to September 2020, we've come out of the massive decline in equity markets in March, which was probably, I think, from its high to low, something like 42% on the ASX 200. And then we were talking about potentially having a W-shaped, a V-shaped, a U-shaped recovery. But from, you know, when you launched in September 2020, it seemed like things ended up inevitably being sort of a V-shape or in a straight line back upwards to where it was pre-COVID. Can you talk about your launch then, and do you remember the first day and the first trade?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. We raised I think it was $8 million in July ahead of the launch. And we sort of sold investors on us hitting 10,000 customers within 12 months, and this is what it was going to do for the business. Our internal target was 15, and we wanted to exceed it. We had no idea what was going to happen. So we launched the first day. We had 1,500 people sign up the first day. We had 2,000 people come onto live chat and chat with us. We had like six people working in the business. So everyone was on live chat. It was just all hell broke loose. And I think it took us 3 weeks to hit 10,000 customers.
And that was a 52-week target. You hit it in three.
That was 50, yeah, we hit it in three. It just went ballistic straight out of the gates. Like, it just exceeded all expectations. But we knew we weren't first to market, clearly. There's other share trading platforms out there. So we weren't first to market. We were actually late to market. But we had a unique offering, and what we knew we needed to do was we needed to play catch up on brand recognition. So it was like, how do we become the company that you want to come to for share trading? And that's sort of how we thought about our brand. So we did things pretty unconventional, which, you know, today is sort of the norm. And it's, what's that saying? When they copy, you know, it's flattering that
the imitation copy is flattery.
Exactly. We bought a distressed media package of outdoor, transit advertising right in the middle of the pandemic when Sydney and Melbourne was in lockdown. And like this thing, it was like cheap as chips. Mm. Who was putting stickers on buses when everyone's stuck at home? But we took this sort of I guess it was a bit of an educated roll of the dice.
Gamble.
This can't last forever. And in November, Melbourne will be out of lockdown. And I think we were just coming out of lockdown in Sydney. And sure enough, the campaign launched just as everyone was sort of coming out. And we painted Sydney and Melbourne blue. You know, it was giving trading a kick up the ASX.
Is that your was that a creative marketing person, or was that you?
That was it was a collective effort, but it was one that sort of really it ruffled a few feathers. I think the word on the street is that ASX didn't really know if we were having a crack at them or what it meant. Yep. And of course, we weren't having a crack at ASX. Like, we were raising awareness. Like, we were giving trading, we're giving trading a kick up the ASX. And, you know, there's a huge amount of customers that we signed up. There's a huge amount of volume. So, I mean, ASX was ultimately a beneficiary of yep. you know, our success. We sort of had to play catch up on everyone. I feel like we executed really well on that in a very good market as well. To build a brand and to become sort of that new disruptor, but the sort of the leader of the category.
And John, when it came to the peripheral piece, which you wanted to talk about in regards to making it the platform of choice for people to trade shares, what have you done at a community level and the engagement in terms of education and awareness and data around your platform to be a bit more transparent, to make people feel like it's a community?
Yeah, it's quite challenging to do that. So it's it has taken a lot of work, but I think, and you know, people, a lot of businesses talk about, you know, financial illiteracy, and we're going to educate our customers, and you know, we put all of our customers first. What we've tried to do is actually embed that into the experience, so we sort of upskill people without them realizing. So it's how do we build in, you know, intuitive, you know, educational steps, but contextual education. So when you're going through and placing a trade, it teaches you, you know, what basic things like what is a limit order, what is a market order, and there's you know, the biggest challenge that we've seen is that sort of lack of financial literacy from people investing for the first time, and that has really, I feel like that's resonated with a large portion of our customer base, and we sort of build that into the way we talk, the way we market ourselves, the way we, you know, we sort of, you know, behave on social media and things. It's about, you know, giving people useful information, useful facts about businesses, so that they can sort of have that first step towards, you know, going and doing their own research and understanding what they're investing in. And I feel like that's resonated. Like, we do see very positive feedback across, you know, social channels, even back to our customer service team, about how we are sort of leading people to you know, more financial success,
providing them the toolkit and providing them all the necessary information that they want when they want to trade, I suppose, and using their own research, John. Moving forward into
I think just on that as well. Like, we do see, you know, we clearly have competitors in the space, but it's about giving people those tools to succeed. Where, you know, some platforms, it is like, here's the loaded gun, go and use it. And it's that difference, and I think it's that difference that our customers enjoy as well.
And moving forward into the next chapter of Superhero, some news in early June about the merger with SwiftX. Do you want to talk about that and how that came about and why you're excited about it?
Yeah, it was quite a journey. It's been quite a journey that we've been on. You know, we've been sort of going for, you know, I think it was September 2017 where the idea really started to sort of, you know, move from, oh, we could do that one day, to we're actually going to do this. So, you know, what's that, 5 years from sort of the outset. But you know, coming up to 2 years since the product actually launched. And you know, when we agreed on the deal with SwiftX, we'd only been around for about 18 months, and we worked out that for 9 of those 18 months, for half the time we'd been live, we were being you know, there were proposals coming in to acquire the business, which for us was like a massive vote of confidence. We're like, holy shit, like this thing actually works, and people, you know, people are actually interested in it. It was, you know, a very, very rewarding moment. And that, you know, I'm talking, you know, significant businesses that were sort of, you know, stepping into the data room. So we went through that process and ended up choosing, you know, SwiftX as a company to partner with, but you know, I guess sort of hand the keys over to an extent. You know, for in a lot of ways, it is a merger. There's a lot of experience, particularly regulatory experience on the Superhero side, that we'll embed across the broader group. But at the end of the day, you know, it's been a wild ride. And you know, I guess, you know, in its simplest form, it was a takeover, and you know, we sold the business to SwiftX. You know, the teams are staying. Wayne and I are staying in the business as well. So, you know, we'll continue the journey. But yeah, it's a new chapter. It's not the sort of the end of the book.
No, for sure. And what a wild just coming up to 2 years from being live. What a wild time for you in regards to equity markets and the product that you launched and the acceptance, as you mentioned, in regards to people actually wanting to trade and a lot of people looking to acquire the business. Now, John, when you don't talk about equities and you don't talk about running a business and staff and what's happening in terms of volumes, what do you get up to, Matt? I think you're pretty prolific on the social media networks in regards to your getting into the locker room, mate, and getting into the gym. Is that something which you do a fair bit in your spare time? And what are the other hobbies?
Yeah, I haven't been to the gym enough as I would like to. And those guys are hitting me up daily saying, when are you coming back? They probably miss taking sneaky photos and videos and posting it on LinkedIn when I'm pumping iron, pumping the 5 kilo dumbbells.
I can only do the bar, so it's okay.
I've got 3 kids and a puppy. So they keep me busy. I've got a 3, 8, and 11-year-old. We recently bought a farm, so we're looking at becoming farmers, buying some cows. Got a few sort of hobbies. Actually, funny story, but I recently bought a horse as well. So I go horse riding around Centennial Park in the mornings. If anyone's
no one's taken any social media clips of that yet, so I think we'll have to get on the case.
I know. Yeah, so paparazzi will get out there now. I keep myself busy. I mean, work's pretty full on and takes a lot of my time. But always sort of thinking about new opportunities, investment opportunities, sort of keeping an open mind about what's next, but certainly focused on the superhero business, and there's a long way to go for that, and a huge opportunity ahead as we bring crypto and traditional financial services together as a first in Australia.
And John, one final question. If I come down to Sydney, actually SwiftX is a Brisbane-based company, so you'll probably be up here more than I'm down in Sydney. But
I've been up there a few times.
Yeah, mate, when I come down to Sydney, where are you going to take me for a good feed, mate? What's your favourite feed?
The Hanger steak at District is, I reckon, is probably the best steak in Sydney.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I reckon that's probably
a District. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, mate, highly recommend it.
Excellent. Well, thanks, John, for being part of the FinTech Fund podcast and telling the story of behind the scenes early days in Superhero to the point of launch in September 2020 and the progress that you have made thus far into the acquisition by SwiftX now and the next chapter. Mate, congratulations on everything and look forward to catching up and following the progress.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Great to chat. As always.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.